Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. Boy, are we locked and loaded as we bring you the autopsy of the 2024 Washington Commanders. The clock finally struck midnight last night on the Cinderella season that was for the Burgundy and Gold. 55-23 losers at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. We will break down every angle of the NFC Championship game here over the next 3.5 hours. Make sure you line up on the phones at 1-800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on a bunch of things here this evening. I'll go through my Commander superlatives, team MVP, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. A lot to get to as we roll throughout the program. We will also let you hear from the general manager and head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, and Adam Peters spoke today out in Ashburn addressing what is next for the team. We'll let you hear that in the 9 o'clock hour. And then before we get out of here, I will give you my biggest offseason needs for the Washington Commanders. So a jam-packed show. We'll have a couple of guests stop by as well. Former NFL player Solomon Wilcox going to join the show as we get his thoughts on the 2024 Washington Commanders. We'll also be joined by my guy David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. So a lot to get into in a little bit of time. You can tweet at me. It is at @NELL_BTP. Let's get right to it. Washington in Philadelphia yesterday, duking it out for the right to play in the Super Bowl. And let's be open, honest, and transparent about what happened. It was a magical season, right? Fun. You exceeded expectations. You've solved the long-term answer at quarterback. There are a lot of good things to look ahead to when it comes to this football team. But make no mistake about it. Last night in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagles put their foot up the Washington Commanders' ass. It was not remotely close. Philly clearly looked like the better team for the better part of 60 minutes. And for Washington, in the game's most important, or excuse me, in the season's most important game, rather, for them to come out and turn the football over and to be as careless with the football as they were, it's gut-wrenching. That's the best way that I can describe it. For a team that has preached the message of ball is life all year long, for them to not value the football the way that they did yesterday, I mean, it's gut-wrenching, it's unfortunate, it's eye-opening, and honestly, to me, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm being overreactionary, it puts a huge cloud over this offseason. It does, because this stings. To go out this way and really not be remotely competitive against a team that is in your division that you will have to deal with for the next 2 years, it stings. The 4 turnovers, a big reason why Washington lost the football game. A poor defensive effort, one of the big reasons why Washington lost the football game. You can slice it any way you want to. Washington looked like a group yesterday that the moment was too big for. And that's okay. You're in year one of a rebuild. A lot of these guys that played, it's your first time playing in a conference championship game, and it showed. Because we saw mistakes against Philadelphia that, quite frankly, I'm just not accustomed to seeing from this group. I'm just not. Fumbles have been an issue at times this year, right? Like for Deami Brown to fumble to kind of start things off, right? He fumbled in the last game against Philadelphia. It's tough. You got to move on and overcome the adversity in a football game. But, man, how many fumbles as a football team can you overcome? And the answer was three is too many. Point blank, period. Listen to the tail end of Grant and Danny. Danny brings up, they were doing a segment where it's like, don't forget, or don't forget about it, rather, is what they call it. And Danny brought up my biggest don't forget about it moment. With 2 minutes left to go in the third quarter, the Washington Commanders had the football with the opportunity, if they kicked a field goal, to cut it to a one-possession game, it would have been 26-34. And then, God forbid, right, you go all the way down and score a touchdown, it's 30-34. But instead, Austin Ekeler, who has been a godsend for this football team for most of the year, puts the ball on the carpet, and quite frankly, that was all she wrote. That was all she wrote. There are some turnovers in football that you simply cannot come back from. The Austin Ekeler one, for me, was the straw that broke the camel's back. I know people are going to point to the Jeremy McNichols fumble because it's on the heels of a Philadelphia score. But, man, Austin Ekeler fumbling last night when he did, and it brought tears to my face. It broke my damn heart. I knew watching it that that was probably going to be the end of the football game. Now, big picture, right? There's obviously a ton to be proud of if you're a Washington fan, right? Big picture-wise, there's plenty of reason for optimism, but I'm not quite there yet because I have a fresh taste in my mouth of watching the team that I thought really outkicked his coverage all year long. To watch them go out last night in that fashion was gut-wrenching. And it's no shame in just losing to the Philadelphia Eagles. You watch Kansas City, Steve Spagnuolo, they're going to have their hands full in Super Bowl 59 trying to stop Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and that offense. They're a good group. I say it all the time. As much as we love Adam Peters here in Washington, for my money, Eagles general manager Howie Roseman is the best executive in professional sports right now. When you think about the construction of that roster, you think about the risks, the calculated risk that they took to draft a guy like a Jalen Carter, to give money to Saquon Barkley, to go out and trade for A.J. Brown a few seasons ago. They're a franchise that has continued to go for it. Their foot remains on the gas, and I hope Washington, as they get geared up for just a super all-important offseason, I hope Washington can take that same mentality. I hope Adam Peters and Lance Newmark go about it the exact same way. You cannot get complacent when it comes to putting this product together. You only have so many years with Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract. You have to capitalize every offseason. And it starts with this one. This is the most important offseason in this entire rebuild. Because you know what you have internally now. You've been around these guys for a year. You've set your culture. You've been around these dudes for an entire year. So there is a clear understanding as to what is next. And if you watch the way Philadelphia goes about their business each and every offseason, doesn't matter if they finish 12-5, doesn't matter if they finish 14-3. They are going to continue to keep their foot on the gas and be aggressive in trying to acquire talent. That has to be the mentality this offseason for Washington. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. We're getting to Commander superlatives as we roll throughout the 7 o'clock hour. I'll give you my team MVP. Biggest surprise of the season, biggest disappointment of the season. We are in reflection mode as these other shoe drops on the Washington Commanders' Cinderella season. Going back to yesterday for a second, though, man, it kills me for the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. I look at him as a young man that did everything right this year, right? He wasn't perfect, not saying that at all. But he did everything right this year in terms of putting himself in position to have the success that he had this year. We'll let you hear from guys like Terry McLaurin, Jaden Daniels, Austin Ekeler, Sam Cosmi, and others as we roll throughout the show here. It was locker cleanout day in Ashburn, And hearing the guys reflect on the season, there was a common thread amongst what everyone said. They understand that foundationally speaking, the building blocks are there. Foundationally speaking, your core is there. It's just about what Washington is going to do as a team to build on it. What is Washington going to do as an organization to build upon that? That's the big question mark for me. And we'll let you hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn as they address the DC media earlier today. But as I sit here right now, a little over 24 hours removed from what happened yesterday, it is a gut-wrenching feeling. This sucks. The quarterback echoed those sentiments. Players in the locker room echoed those sentiments. I just truly look at this group, talking about Washington, as a unit that, for all intents and purposes, outkicked their coverage, exceeded expectations. We all know that. But at a certain point in time, that's not going to matter anymore. And that's what I want to start to get into here tonight. At a certain point in time, what happened this year doesn't matter. Because all the other 31 teams in the NFL are going to retool, add talent to their roster. And at the end of the day, it is about how you are going to come back next year, which is why I bring up Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to their second Super Bowl in 3 years. That hasn't stopped Philadelphia from being uber aggressive in trying to add talent to that roster. That hasn't stopped Philadelphia from continuing to leave no stone unturned when it comes to adding talent to the roster. So there is a ton of credit and respect that I give to that group. But let's just be real about it here. If you're Washington, there is no guarantee that you get back here. So it is uber important for Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouts, the front office, everybody involved for Washington. It is paramount that they keep their foot on the gas this offseason and do everything in their power to improve the talent on this football team. That's on the offensive side of the football. That's on the defensive side of the football. Because as you will hear me say many times throughout this offseason and many times tonight, you only have so many years with Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract. And I call the rookie contract the best asset in the National Football League when you have someone on a rookie contract that is as impactful as Jaden Daniels is. So to me, it's all about, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit on your hands and be complacent and happy about outkicking your coverage in year one? Or are you going to put your foot to the gas and do your damnedest to get this team back in position next year? We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067 is the number. A lot to get to as we roll throughout the show. Former NFL defensive back Solomon Wilcott's going to join us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also be joined by our guy, David Harrison, who was out in Ashburn today at Locker Cleanout. We'll get his thoughts on just the vibe in Washington's locker room as the other shoe drops, so to speak, man. Washington having their Cinderella season ended last night at the hands of the Philadelphia Eagles. Where do they go from here? We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, there is a narrative going around on Commander's Twitter that I want to address on the other side of the break. You all know how I get down when I do this, man. I wear it on my sleeve. I give you everything I have. Some of you fans out there need to take your head out of your ass. That's next here on The Fan. Just getting rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. A lot to get to when it comes to the Washington Commanders. The Cinderella season finally coming to an end. Last night, Philadelphia 55-23 winners over Washington. And I opened up the show talking about how disappointing yesterday was. And look, I get how good of a year it was. I get, you know, we weren't supposed to be here and we're not as talented as Philadelphia. I get all of that. But it is still very hard for me as a fan, and I'm being honest here, as a fan, it's difficult for me to stomach a loss that way, right? It's different if Philadelphia just flat out beats you. But with four turnovers, including three fumbles yesterday, albeit Philadelphia did their thing and earned the win, Washington, you can't feel like you didn't beat yourselves. Three fumbles. Three of them. The Diami Brown fumble. Gut-wrenching. Squeeze the damn football. Point blank. Squeeze the damn football. Point blank. Squeeze the football. Squeeze the football. Point blank. Jeremy McNichols on kickoff return. Squeeze the damn football. And then Austin Ekeler. Squeeze the football. That's it. Imagine how different that football game goes yesterday if Washington doesn't turn it over. Now, I get it, right? Philadelphia forced those turnovers. It's not as if they just gave the football away. Credit to the Eagles and their attention to detail, right? Credit to them. But, man, it's tough to stomach if you're a fan of the Burgundy and Gold. And I understand everyone's perspective out there. But the one that I continue to go back to, and I'm not trying to make it about one guy or call out any one guy. I'm just calling a spade a spade. The Austin Ekeler fumble, to me, was the straw that broke the camel's back yesterday. You were in a situation where a field goal makes it a one-possession game, a touchdown makes it a one-possession game, and you didn't capitalize. So, yes, Washington's season ended, but make no mistake about it, they deserve for their season to end based on how poorly they played yesterday. Got a lot to get to here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. We're doing the autopsy of the 2024 Washington Commanders. We'll take your calls on Commander team superlatives. We'll look at the best and worst move, in my opinion, of Adam Peters in year one. And then before we get out of here, we'll tease some of the biggest offseason needs for the Washington Commanders. But there's one thing that I had to address right away based off of some commentary I'm getting on Twitter. And normally I do not bring Twitter to the radio because I understand Commanders Twitter is a toxic cesspool. And a lot of you all are emotionally fragile people who don't know a damn thing about football. Let's just be real about it. A lot of the Commander fans are emotionally fragile folks that don't know a damn thing about football. So these comments that I have, and that I'm going to read to you, when I add that context of you all out there, a lot of you don't know a damn thing, this is what makes me say things like you don't know a damn thing. I'm going to go to the exact time that I tweeted it too, because I don't want there to be anything misconstrued here. I don't need there to be anything misconstrued about what I'm about to say at all. This was 8 hours ago at 10:16 a.m. I tweeted, if I see anyone calling for Joe Witt Jr.'s job, I'm blocking you. What the hell is wrong with you all? I tweeted that at 10:16 this morning because I had saw and read three or four tweets where folks were calling for the defensive coordinator's job. This tweet, 8 hours later, has 22,000 views. Let me make sure I have the updated analytics on the tweet. This tweet, 8 hours later, has 22,000 views, 78 comments, 504 likes, and 43 reposts. And some of the comments are absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to make you all famous the way that you want to be by tweeting ignorance like this. This is from Aaron Allen RE on Twitter. Quote, LOL, you acting like Joe Witt is the second coming of Buddy Ryan. Dude had pieces, and Philly hung 55 on his defense. If the team didn't get kick rocks to see who's out there, then they would be doing the team a disservice. I'm not saying fire him, but the team needs to do its due diligence. What? He had pieces? Do you not understand what this is? This is year one of a rebuild, Aaron, Allen, whatever the hell you call yourself on social media. It's year one of a rebuild. The cupboard is bare. Joe Witt Jr.'s defense, first of all, they were marketably better than they were the year before. Second of all, if you watch this team week in, week out, it is very clear they improved on that side of the football every single week. And Joe Witt began to say it and be more vocal about it at the end of the season, but they run and hit as well as anybody in football. That's one thing. They play hard on that side of the ball. And when you're lacking talent, playing hard is all you can do sometimes. So I give them a ton of credit for instilling the defensive culture that they have right now. No, it's not perfect. Yes, they have several holes on that side of the football. Yes, they're simply not good enough stopping the run. We've known that all season long. There are personnel moves and personnel adjustments that have to be made. Then, Fever Rolling, tweets, he had an atrocious game plan in the NFC Championship. Then, at JP7424, you idiot, tweets, F Joe Witt, he needs to be fired. I honestly can't understand the idiocy of some of you fans. Kareem_is_it tweets, he got smoked by Ben and Kellen. Flat out smoked. Everything he called, it seemed like the OC knew and had an answer for it. What the hell are you talking about? Lex from the Bay tweets, not adjusting the scheme, allowing us to get run on all year was pretty wild. Are you telling me Joe Witt Jr. didn't adjust the scheme? Why in the hell was John Allen and Deron Payne playing defensive end if Joe Witt Jr. wasn't adjusting the scheme? Shut the hell up. And I don't mean to be vulgar. I don't mean to be over the top. But at some point, man, I'm not hearing certain stuff. I'm not. This was a defense that was dead last. You hear what I'm saying? Dead last a season ago in the National Football League in terms of yards given up per game. They gave up damn near 400 yards a game. You fast forward to this year in the Washington Commanders defense, in terms of yards allowed per game, elevated all the way to 17th. They improved 15 whole spots on the defensive side of the football. 15 whole spots. Yet I'm supposed to sit here and call for Joe Witt Jr.'s job? You can miss me with that. It's the day after the season, but we're not going to get overreactionary and call for Joe Witt's job. We're not going to get overreactionary and call the season a fluke. But we're going to look at this thing objectively. That's what we're going to do. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Anyone calling for Joe Witt's job, please do not tweet at me. Seriously, anyone calling for Joe Witt's job, please, please do not tweet at me. I've had enough. Clearly, the Washington Commanders, right? Clearly, the Washington Commanders have holes across their roster. That is why this offseason is so important. And as we roll throughout the show here tonight, we will look at some of the biggest offseason needs for Washington, but I guarantee you this, a lot of those needs reside on the defensive side of the football. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I will give you team superlatives for the 2024 Washington Commanders, including but not limited to team MVP, most improved on the team, biggest surprise of the team, biggest disappointment as well. My team superlatives for the 2024 Commanders next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. We'll have a couple of guests stop by before we hop out of here. Our guy Solomon Wilcox of SiriusXM going to join the program top of the 9 o'clock hour. We will get his thoughts on what went wrong yesterday in the NFC Championship game for the Washington Commanders as they lost 55-23 at the hands of the Eagles. Also asked Solomon how likely it is that quarterback Jaden Daniels is able to successfully follow up on what was a historic rookie campaign. All that and more coming up here on Overtime. Number to call the show, 1-800-636-1067. One thing I wanted to do, now that it is the end of the season, I think it's a perfect time for a little Washington Commanders superlatives. And the beauty of this, right, and we'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. The beauty of it being the end of the season is that we get to peek ahead and look ahead towards the offseason. We will do that coming up before we get out of this 7 o'clock hour. But I want to do a little bit of, or give out rather, some Commander superlatives for the season, because I do think this year, all things considered, was a smashing success. A smashing success. From the work of the front office, from the work of the players on the field, you cannot hold your head at the way this thing finished for the 2024 Washington Commanders. Season is over now, though, and we have to reflect. And reflecting on something after it is over is tough, right? The 2024 Commanders, this football team will never be replicated. That's what's special about the National Football League and sports as a whole. These guys have been going to war with each other since March, April, back in OTAs and mandatory minicamp. You build bonds and relationships with folks, and then free agency happens. There may be situations where some guys do not come back. That is just the nature of the beast when it comes to the National Football League and the way things work. That's just what it is. Now, in terms of what is next for this group, I think it's very clear. I said it at the start of the show. Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, and company, it is the most important offseason in this rebuild for these guys. 110%. It is the most important offseason in the rebuild for these guys. They have to get this right. They have to upgrade this roster because there are only so many opportunities, right, for this team to compete while Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract. Because once he becomes one of the top paid quarterbacks in football, not saying you can't compete, not saying you won't compete, it just becomes increasingly more difficult. And I think everybody that covers football understands that. As we go through our Commander superlatives here, I want to start with team MVP. I think very clearly, Jaden Daniels is the team MVP for the 2024 Washington Commanders. His ability to elevate everyone on this roster is, it's been a godsend for the organization. It's been a godsend for the DMV. I just really, really hope that this isn't the best we'll see of Jaden Daniels. And I doubt it is, because the work ethic of the guy, the mental makeup of the guy, he's wired properly. And he was pretty open, honest, and transparent about, you know, whether or not he was pretty open, honest, and transparent about how he felt, rather, post-game. He said it stunk. It sucked. I love that from him. That is the mentality I want my quarterback to have. I compare it to, like, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. He can't stand to lose. He just can't. He cannot stand to lose. He can't. And it's that mess that is going to allow him to continue to elevate and be great. But if we're giving out our Commander superlatives, he is my team MVP. I don't think anybody should be surprised with that. We now move on to something that I think really kind of reflects the overall organization. My most improved Washington Commander throughout the 2024 season. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. The most improved member of the Washington Commanders from last year to this year, I have to go with Andrew Wiley, the offensive tackle. I think Andrew Wiley is somebody that last year caught a lot of grief for how he played up front. I think he is someone that has gotten better as the year went on. Now, I do preface my statement by saying this, right? Andrew Wiley playing with a quarterback like Jaden Daniels makes him a hell of a lot better. Makes him a hell of a lot better. Because Jaden is so elusive that whenever Andrew Wiley gets beat, Jaden Daniels is able to see it and react. So the sack numbers this year for Andrew Wiley were out of this world. But it's not just for that reason why I think he's the most improved. I think his ability as a run blocker, he improved in that aspect of his game. I think watching him be an athlete and get out in space in the screen game, that was really awesome to watch from him. So he gets my vote for the most improved member of the Washington Commanders as we give out our 2024 Commander superlatives. Team MVP, obviously Jaden Daniels. Most improved player on the roster, to me, is Andrew Wiley. I now want to go to biggest surprise of the year. Who is the biggest surprise of the 2024 Washington Commanders? I guess that also could be Jaden Daniels, but for the sake of the conversation, we're going to choose someone else. But in terms of who surprised me the most with this football team, I will be very honest with you. And if you listen to me regularly, you know I have multiple times throughout the season said, hey, that's on me. I was wrong. What do I say? I'm a man first when I do this. So if I'm wrong, I'm going to tell you I'm wrong. If I'm right, you know you're going to hear about it. The biggest surprise to me was Zach Ertz. I remember sitting across from Chris Russell over on the Team 980 when the Zach Ertz signing was announced. And I said, psh. Why the hell would they bring in old-ass Zach Ertz? Boy, do I look like an ass right now. Zach Ertz, first and foremost, thank you. As a lifelong fan of this team, I hated Zach Ertz for most of my teenage life because he was an Eagle. He torched us with Philadelphia. But I say thank you because everybody to a man that you talk to in that organization, in that building over in Washington, they rave about Zach Ertz, the person and the leader. And I think a lot of the times in the NFL, man, and in life, rather, right? Whether you work in an office, whether you're in an NFL locker room, the older guys aren't always fond of helping the young cats out. That's just the way that life is, especially in a competitive atmosphere like an NFL locker room. It could have been easy for Zach Ertz to be like, psh, the hell with you, Ben Sennett. Why would I want to help you get better? Psh, the hell with you, Jaden Daniels. Why would I want to help you get better? So the leadership stuff that you got from Zach Ertz this year, I think is invaluable. Jaden Daniels consistently talked about just how important Zach Ertz was to him from a preparation standpoint, understanding how to take care of his body. Zach Ertz was a godsend for the 2024 Washington Commanders, and we'll get to the impending free agents on the team a little bit later on in the week, but I am a huge proponent of bringing Zach Ertz back. He is my biggest surprise. The on-the-field stuff is really where I got surprised. There is such a nuance when it comes to route running at the tight end position. He could outrun me right now, probably. But he's consistently able to get open. right? He's consistently able to get open. He understands leverage, and he makes himself a super friendly target for the quarterback. For him, yesterday, to have the type of game that he had, it just makes you feel good. Honestly. It honestly makes you feel good. Zach Ertz going Kanye crazy yesterday in the playoff game. 11 receptions, 104 yards. 9 of his 11 catches went for a first down yesterday, people. That is how impactful Zach Ertz was. That is how impactful Zach Ertz was yesterday in particular. It felt like time and time again when Zach Ertz's number was called on, he was able to show up big time. And for that reason, he is the biggest surprise for me of the 2024 Washington Commanders season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're going through our Commander superlatives for the 2024 Washington team. I've given you my team MVP. I've given you my biggest surprise. I've given you my most improved player. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of this thing as we roll throughout the show. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I will give you, and I hate to do this, the biggest disappointment of the 2024 Washington Commanders season. That is next on The Fan. one 800 636 1067, the number on the MGM at National Harbor Lister Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore PTP. It's overtime here on 1067. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Reflecting on the Commanders' 2024 campaign, Cinderella story. Coming to an end last night up at Lincoln Financial, the Eagles putting belt to ass of the Washington Commanders, 55-23 winners over the Burgundy and Gold. The turnovers really were the story of yesterday's loss. Washington, 4 turnovers for the team in that football game, including the 3 fumbles. It is really, really tough to win a football game shooting yourselves in the foot as consistently as Washington did. But man, I keep going back to it. It was 2 minutes left in the third quarter, right? Washington driving with the opportunity to kick a field goal and cut it to a one-possession game. If they score a touchdown, they cut it to a one-possession game. And Austin Ekeler put the ball on the carpet. That, to me, was the straw that broke the camel's back and really ended up being the undoing of this football team. Right now, though, giving out team superlatives for the 2024 Washington Commanders. I've gave you my team MVP in Jaden Daniels. My biggest surprise was tight end Zach Ertz. My most improved player was offensive tackle Andrew Wiley. I'm going to give you my biggest disappointment of the 2024 season for the Washington Commanders. My biggest disappointment, if I'm being honest with you. And it's tough, right? Because these guys are professionals. They work their ass off. And they try their hardest to go out and compete and try to win games for us as a fan base. But, man, let's just be real about it here. To me, this, I hate that I have to do this. Just wasn't impactful enough. And I understand being a rookie in the National Football League playing wideout, it is difficult, right, to adjust to the speed of the game. And then when you add the caveat of hey, right, you know, he's a dude. And it's tough because I don't want to feel as if I'm dunking on anybody. I don't want to be uber negative here. But when you add the caveat of he is a quarterback, converted wide receiver, you knew the job was going to be more difficult. You got that. I got that. But damn. opportunity after opportunity after opportunity presented itself for Luke McCaffrey, and he simply wasn't able to capitalize. How many injuries did Washington have at the wide receiver spot? A lot. Yet Luke McCaffrey still wasn't able to carve out a significant role. Now, I'm going to chalk a lot of it up to him just being a rookie, and his body needs to get more physically mature so he could be an asset in the running game, and he needs to get faster, he needs to get stronger. He needs to just fine-tune his game. But I was sold a bill of goods on Luke McCaffrey. I watched him every day in camp. It felt like a guy that they wanted to have a role, but he never really got the opportunity. He never really was able to capitalize on the opportunity, and that hurts. That is tough. That is difficult. So I don't say it proudly. I don't say it to try and dunk on him, but Luke McCaffrey, probably my biggest disappointment of the 2024 Washington Commanders season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Giving out superlatives for the 2024 Washington Commanders. Gave you my team MVP. Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment, whatever you can think of. James is in Warrenton. Your Commander superlatives, James.
Hey, Lenell, what's going on?
What's going on, brother?
I was going to talk about something else, but hey, I got some superlatives too now that I'm at it. The MVP, obviously, James Daniels. I mean, you just don't argue with that. As far as my most improved player, see, that's tough. I would say my most improved player would have to be it's John Bates. I mean,
my biggest disappointment.
I would say John Bates because of the fact that he became more of a factor in the passing game than I thought he would. I thought he was just going to be a blocking tight end and nothing more, but he became a good asset in the passing game. My biggest disappointment is Benjamin St. Juice. I thought under better coaching, he was going to be a much better cornerback, but he beat me all season.
Yeah, it's obvious to understand why anybody would be disappointed in Benjamin St. Juice. James, I almost made him my biggest disappointment as well for the exact reason you listed. I gave Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes, for that matter, the benefit of the doubt the past 2 years because they were getting coached by a defensive backs coach that had no NFL experience outside of working with MAGA Jack. So I thought, you get Justin Simmons in here, you get William Gay in here, you bring in Joe Witt Jr. and your young pups in the secondary automatically improved. That was not the case for Benjamin St. Juice or Emmanuel Forbes. James, I appreciate you calling in as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More Commander superlatives as we put a bow on the 2024 season. That's next here on The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Lenell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Right now, going through some Commander superlatives as we put a bow on the 2024 Washington Commanders season. The year ending in gut-wrenching fashion yesterday. The Eagles dog walk in Washington, 55-23. If we're being real about it, why did yesterday happen the way that it did? Turnovers. I was joking with a buddy of mine earlier. I said, man, I got 3.5 hours of radio tonight. I only need 5 minutes. You cannot turn the football over 4 times in a postseason game and expect to be competitive. You just can't, especially in the NFC Championship, the second biggest game in pro sports in the NFL. You're going up against a formidable opponent who you know, right? Even if you play your best football, it was going to be difficult to beat them. Washington gave the football game away yesterday. So as we sit and reflect on the season, I want to look at some of the Commander superlatives here. Most improved player I gave to Andrew Wiley. I thought he was much better this year. Biggest disappointment I gave to Luke McCaffrey. I thought he was a young man that could have done more to seize his opportunity. Now, just because he was my biggest disappointment doesn't mean I'm giving up on Luke McCaffrey. He's a rookie. But when you add the context of how badly they needed another option at wideout, it was disappointing to not see a draft pick of theirs grab that position by the throat, so to speak. So he's my biggest disappointment. There's some other very deserving candidates for biggest disappointment. My guy Ren Gambino, Ren tweets, biggest disappointment had to be Deron and John. True vets that basically didn't show up at all. I know Allen was hurt, but they were damn near no-shows. I can't argue with anybody that is disappointed by the overall performance of Deron Payne and John Allen this year. We ushered in the highest paid defensive tackle duo in football, and they simply were not impactful enough. They just weren't. They just weren't. So I understand anybody that's got frustration with those two guys. But I'll say this moving forward with those two. What happens next? What happens next? Do you want to trade them? Do you run it back another year with them? Because I'm looking at it like this. John Allen to me is the more valuable of the two. And I'll be honest, before this year, I didn't feel that way. Maybe I don't know football. John Allen to me is the better player between him and Deron. I'm not trying to pit anybody against each other. I'm just being objective. I think John can rush the passer and John can play the run. I think he's more consistent down in and down out than Payne is. Payne may be the better athlete, but what does that mean if you're not going to produce? And the same can be said about John Allen. So it's not like he's getting off scot-free. But I think we all can agree they both need to be much more impactful moving forward. Given our commander superlatives for the 2024 season, MVP, most improved, biggest disappointment, biggest surprise. My biggest surprise was Zach Ertz. There's somebody else I want to give some love to in terms of biggest surprises. Someone that I thought came in and played really, really well, despite me not having crazy expectations for them as a player. And when you consider how difficult it is to play that position, I look at Brandon Coleman. Brandon Coleman looked good in training camp, right? He did. Brandon Coleman physically is imposing. He's a good athlete. But I'm not sure whether or not he is the long-term left tackle of the future. Maybe he's better off on the right side. The reason he's my biggest surprise is because coming out of training camp, when he suffered the injury, I was down on him. I was concerned as to how he would come back. I was concerned as to how his rookie season would go. He's a surprise because I think we learned a lot about him. He's tough as nails, played through injury, and there's a lot to work with there. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. It's about continuing to coach him up, fine-tuning the footwork, fine-tuning the technique, and maybe we will see him emerge into a franchise left tackle. Right now, he's a serviceable guy and one of your five best starters, period. So I think you got to live with that. 1-800-636-1067. Commander superlatives. Let's go out to Chris in Silver Spring. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, man? Good evening.
I'm good.
Well, you know, I've just been reflecting this whole day, man. I'm one of the younger ones of the fan base, and it hurts, man. But I got to be grateful for what we saw this year, man. It was a great ride, honestly.
For sure.
But I'll give you my superlatives, all right? First and foremost, the MVP, we all know it. The fan base knows it. Jaden Daniels, the MVP of the season, we all knew it was coming in, right? My most improved, I guess I could say my most surprised as well, Sam Cosmi in the O-line. He was amazing. And we definitely found out yesterday in Philadelphia, his loss, his absence hurt us a lot. So he is my most surprised player. My biggest disappointment honestly has to go on the defense shoulders. I'm talking about St. Juice. I'm talking Deron, Jonathan Allen, that defense for me, I thought they were going to improve. I'm very disappointed in that. I don't know what has to change. You're talking about trading one or the other. I don't know if that what it comes down to. If we're going to run back one more year, I just don't know what it is, but we need to improve that defense. because we need to start competing with these big teams, these big names, because we have a future, man. Next 5-10 years are set. We're set for the future. We're ready for the future. Championships, Super Bowl, ready for it. Ready for it. We have to improve that area.
Chris, appreciate the call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I totally agree. Totally agree. I think they're in a spot right now, though, where this is a super pivotal offseason for this football team. They must get better at a bunch of different positions. And, yes, it's about getting better, but I will continue to go back to it. The bigger picture piece, the most important thing here, is improving this roster on both sides of the football, right? And maximizing Jaden Daniels while he's on the rookie contract. That, to me, is what is most important here moving forward. That is what you must do. And it doesn't just mean adding offensive players. It's about improving the defense. It's about improving the special teams. It's about improving the skill group, the offensive line. You name it, they must be better. Point blank. And it's up to Adam Peters, Lance Newmark and company to not be complacent, which I don't think they are. I don't take them as for a complacent group at all. They can't be complacent. And straight up, man, they've got to get to a point here where this is a destination people want to come to. And I think this year goes a long way in proving that. They've also got to hit on all the draft picks. The draft is going to be so important moving forward for this group. So important. And it's the big reason, right, why we were so enamored by Adam Peters in the first place, his ability to pick talent. It's now time to see that come to fruition. What type of building blocks are they going to add to this team this offseason? I'm super excited. The Senior Bowl's going on this week, I believe. The Senior Bowl gets underway down in Mobile, the East-West Shrine game coming up this week as well. So it's time to hit the road, man. This is where good football teams become great. This is how you build a dynasty. This is how you create a sustained winner. Because this roster is going to look a hell of a lot different next year. How do you supplement it? How do you improve it? The next couple of months, this offseason, is going to be the most pivotal one of potentially the Jaden Daniels rebuild here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Continue to line up on the phones. We're taking your calls on Commander Superlatives as we put a bow on the 2024 season for Washington. G is in Culpepper. Your Commander Superlatives, G.
Well, of course, Jaden Daniels. You know, he's been wearing that cape all year, and he's been amazing. I've never seen a rookie play any better than him, and proud to be a Redskin fan all my life. And but I disagree with you a little bit on the game yesterday, and I'll give you a different view. I mean, of course, they played bad. They had turnovers. I mean, it destroyed their chances. But in the second quarter, and I'll play the sour grapes guy. In the second quarter, I'll give you three different plays that cost them 21 points, or maybe more. Probably between 21 and then 10 or 14 points from there in. The play, and all of them were on fourth down. Fourth down play. When Hurts goes back and throws the ball down the sideline on the left to Brown, Luvu's coming up the middle.
Yep, gets
he's out. Getting to the quarterback, but there's a hold. There should have been a holding call, and even the guest referee on the show even said it should have been called. That was fourth down. We would have had the ball there. The second one was from Barkley. It was a very questionable call on the sideline when he got hit. That was fourth down.
Yeah.
We would have got the ball back there.
Yeah, for sure.
They scored seven on that other play. They scored seven on this play. And then the third one was the interference in the end zone. That was on fourth down. And we lost 7 points there. They scored 7 points, and we would have got the ball back there as well.
So, G, while I understand what you're saying, do you also believe Washington was the beneficiary of some bad calls as well?
not to the magnitude of those plays. There were some guys downfield on the 2-point conversion.
Marshawn Lattimore interferes with the tight end on an incompletion. I get what you're saying 100%, right, buddy? Like, there are blown calls in a game that impact the game. I get that. But if you don't turn it over three times, you know this, your outcome doesn't come that way. Now, I understand completely where you're coming from, G. I think the NFL has an officiating problem. So I don't want to just sweep under the rug what you're talking about, because I am passionate about it. I mean, to me, for a league that wants to take the attention off the officials, right, G, they sure do put them in the limelight to screw up, don't they?
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of fan interest in what you're talking about, too, and from the Kansas City side. Everybody thinks that Kansas City is, you know, the golden child, and being looked like that with the officiating. So,
gee, I appreciate you as always, and we're at the top of the hour. I got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll continue to run through the Commanders' superlatives. Plus, we will let you hear from the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, from Locker Cleanout Day next.